Tonight, we are talking about a difficult subject. The subject of God's holiness revealed in His justice and His wrath. And whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ or not, all of us have a sense of what is just, what is right, and what is wrong. And with that sense of justice, there comes a sense of how wrongs should be punished. We all carry this sense with us. And whether we're reading about genocide in Darfur or reading about a politician who's abused his position for selfish, greedy gain, we all have a sense that justice requires punishment for the wrongdoer. But have you ever considered, is your sense of justice right? How do you define what is just in the face of wrongdoing? God weighs in decisively on this subject of justice in our text tonight. God defines His justice by His own holiness. And we need to come to grips with it if we're going to know God for who He is. Now, two temptations that I want to address very briefly before we begin. Two things that we might face as we ponder the justice of God and the righteousness of God. First, we may be tempted to ignore what we're uncomfortable with. What we may see in this chapter about Uzzah may make us uncomfortable. And this was my temptation as a new believer. When I would be reading God's Word, and I didn't understand something or began to grow uncomfortable with something that I was reading about God's judgment that seemed extreme or harsh, I would just simply move on to happier verses. I didn't want to think about it. Second temptation that we may face is we might be tempted to redefine what we don't like about God. We might be tempted to explain away or minimize the scarier parts of God that are difficult to explain. And God does not want us to do this. God does not want us to ignore His character. He doesn't want us to explain away who He is. When confronted with the awesome, holy, fearful, just wrath of God, all of us can be prone to becoming uncomfortable. But here's what God wants us to do tonight. He wants us to look at God as He defines Himself. He wants us to see how He has revealed Himself to us in His Word. God wants us to behold Him and to be amazed and to stand in awe and to be changed and transformed, and then to have our opinions of what is just and what is right defined by Him. Now, this is a difficult subject for all of us, so we must approach God's Word humbly. We must approach God's Word fearfully, willing to embrace with faith what God has revealed about Himself. So let's pray right now. Father in heaven, God, we stand in Your presence right now. We hold Your very Word in our hands. And God, we declare that Your Word is Your perfect will. It is true. It is right. It is holy. And God, we pray, help us to submit to Your Word. Help us, God, by Your Spirit, to see who You are, to agree with who You are, and to worship You for who You are right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's pick up our Bibles and let's read 2 Samuel verse chapter 6, 1 through 14 together. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. David and all the house of Israel were making merry before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they had came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there beside the ark of God. And David was angry because the Lord had burst forth against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David was not willing to take the ark of the Lord into the city of David, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. Now David, in this text, was a man after God's own heart. But yet even David struggled with what he saw revealed in God in the face of his wrath. David faced a full range of emotions in our text tonight. Joy, then anger, then fear, and then returning again to joyful worship. And we can learn a lot about God and how we ought to respond to him through David's encounter with God. David's responses to Uzzah's execution shows us the wrong way and the right way to respond to God's holiness and his wrath. So as we take a closer look at David's experience, we're going to find some answers that may come up from this text tonight. Like, was God unfair or unjust in his punishment of Uzzah? How could David return to worship the God who had just executed Uzzah? And how ought we to respond to this God in the face of his holiness and wrath? Now, it's our aim and it's our goal tonight that to help you in this text understand who God is. We want you to know him. We want you to see him so that your life will be spent living for God and that your life will be spent loving God for who he is, because our understanding of God is always shaping our love for him. We want you to understand him, know him, so that you could love him. Uzzah's story teaches us that God is holy and perfect in his justice, perfect in his wrath, perfect in his mercy. God's justice is always right and it's always deserved. And this text also teaches us tonight that God's mercy is always undeserved. So let's look at point number one. God's justice is always deserved. Verse 8 says, "And David was angry because the Lord had burst forth against Uzzah." Now, David's anger represents a wrong response to God's punishment of Uzzah. David responded with anger towards God for the immediate judgment that God had brought. And why? Why did David respond with such anger? Well, I think a little bit of context is going to help us understand David's reaction. You see, David had been chosen by God to be the king of Israel over the people of God. And in the years leading up to this story, David had been spending his time unifying the kingdom, defeating the enemies of God, restoring peace to the land after the disastrous reign of Saul. Because it was during the reign of Saul that God's people had experienced defeat. The end of Saul's reign was a complete catastrophe for the people of God. Israel had been defeated. The Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God, had been carried away by the enemies of God. And the people of God were now oppressed at the hands of the Philistines. But now, David is coming fresh off a string of military victories over the Philistines. And it's at this high point in his reign that he decides it's time to restore the right worship of God, to lead the people of God to seek God's presence. And to do this, he decided to bring the ark back. Back from its abandonment and its isolation and its neglect, back to the new kingdom that he had just established, Jerusalem, the new capital of his kingdom. So imagine this with me. Here's the scene. David had just freed God's people from oppression. He had unified the nation. He had brought prosperity and blessing to the people, and now he's leading the people to experience and seek the very presence of God. Things had never been better. This was a time of prosperity and joy. God is blessing his people. He's showing mercy to Israel. This was a time of serious rejoicing. And on this day, over 30,000 people had gathered in this joyful celebration, in this joyful procession of bringing the ark out of isolation and to the new capital, the city of David. People were singing. People were laughing. People were playing instruments in celebration. This was a joyful national celebration. But then something happened. The ox stumbled. Uzzah, who's walking behind the ark, presumptuously reaches out his hand to steady the ark. And God executes him on the spot. Imagine the scene from celebration to complete horror in an instant. No transition. The procession stops, the singing stops, the celebration comes to a crashing end as they stand over Uzzah's lifeless body. Imagine the shock. Imagine the fear. Imagine the horror. Imagine the questions. Can you imagine what David was thinking in this moment? God, why did you do this on this day? We're worshiping you. We're seeking you. God, why did you do this to Uzzah? Was it really that bad? Now, David was angry, but we need to ask the question, was he right? David recognized that it was God who took Uzzah's life. He didn't come up with a lame, natural excuse, a reason why Uzzah died. He rightly saw that it was God who burst forth against Uzzah and brought immediate judgment upon him. But David wrongly saw God as being unjust in his judgment. David had his sense of justice, but it was wrong. His anger was in effect saying, God, your judgment is too harsh. It's too extreme. So was God's judgment on Uzzah an example of injustice? I believe God's word would tell us no, no. What David forgot in that moment is what we must always remember as God's people, that God is holy. God is completely separate from sin, and he intensely is focused on maintaining and pursuing his own glory. And because he is holy, all his judgments are holy. All his judgments are right. All his judgments are just. God always acts in perfect accordance with what is right. This is what justice is. And as difficult and as shocking as it is for us to imagine what God did to Uzzah, what he did was right. What he did was just. And it's shocking for us because we love to think about God being merciful. It's shocking for us because it's easier for us to love God when everything is going great. It's easier for us to love him when we receive and observe his mercy. But then we find it harder to worship God when we see his wrath or judgment revealed. It's harder, isn't it? We get angry. We question God when He reveals His holy justice and wrath. And whether you're a Christian or not, it's all of our tendencies to believe in mercy, but to resist or even reject the notion that God is holy and wrathful towards sin. But if we're to believe in and worship God, it must be on His terms. He decides what is right. So what did Uzzah do that required death? He acted presumptuously, and then he broke God's command. By considering his judgment more right than God, he took for granted the awesome, fearful, and holy presence of God that can never tolerate sin of any kind. The ark was the very symbol of God's presence. It was like a physical throne which God hovered over, through which God's people could seek him. God was manifesting his presence at the ark to his people so they could worship him, seek him, and know him. This is an awesome and fearful thing. And friends, this is also awesome, amazing mercy on display. God, the Creator, condescended to us, to Israel, to manifest his presence to the people of God, mercy. To be with the people of God so that they could seek him and know him, that's mercy. So he could show them his mercy and love. He condescended to a physical throne so his people can meet with him. And what's so often missed in this story of God's judgment is the mercy of God that's displayed before and after. What's missed is God's mercy. It's always there, threaded throughout this whole story. We assume mercy so much when we don't see it. We miss it. We ignore it. And folks, don't miss the mercy of God in manifesting his presence to his people. And in God, in his mercy, he's made it clear that he's holy. And there's a right way and a wrong way to approach him. In this right and wrong way, God has manifested and given strict and in detailed instructions as it relates to the ark and how the ark was to be handled. These instructions were intended to reinforce to God's people the holiness of God, that they ought to fear him and worship him and obey him as they seek him. You see, the ark was only to be carried by a special branch of Levite priests. Uzzah was not a Levite. The ark was only to be carried by poles inserted through rings on the side of the ark, never carried on a cart. Uzzah placed the ark, the presence of God, on the cart. The ark was never to be touched. Uzzah touch the ark. Numbers 4 makes it very clear that anyone who violates these instructions says they will die. You see, Uzzah wasn't punished without a warning. Uzzah wasn't punished without violating God's command. And friends, Uzzah was not an innocent man. David was angry because he believed Uzzah didn't deserve to die, and his anger put him in a place of disagreeing with the very word of God, disagreeing with what God has declared as right. And David was forgetting what we all need to remember, that God is holy and he must execute judgment on all sin. And his judgment, it's right. It's righteousness, and it's always deserved. God's described throughout Scripture as our Creator and the one who has the right as their Creator to be the judge of all the earth. God has declared us as our holy judge, that all sin is worthy of death because sin represents the highest act of treason against a holy God. Adam and Eve were told this in the very first pages of Scripture in Genesis 2:17. If you eat of this tree, you will die. Ezekiel 18:4 describes it this way: the soul who sins is the one who will die. Now, the moment we sin, we are in effect forfeiting our very lives and deserving of death. God's righteous judgment demands that all sin requires the death penalty. So, church, ponder this with me for a moment. If we ever cry out to God for justice, we are asking for punishment for someone. If we ever complain to God about His justice, we are asking Him to stop being God and to deny His very being. And do you really want to worship a God who isn't just? Do you really want to believe in a God who doesn't play by the rules? Friends, mercifully, God is holy, and He always acts in accordance with His character so that we can have confidence that He will act rightly, that He will act consistently. God isn't unpredictable in His judgments. He's consistent. And in Uzzah's death, we see the justice of God being brought swiftly but rightly. God is playing by the rules. He's not being arbitrary. He acted upon Uzzah in conformity to His character. He judged rightly. And Uzzah made a horrible, horrible presumption that day. He decided that his well-intended actions were acceptable, that it was better for him to reach out and touch the ark, and that God's holy law did not apply in this situation. So listen to what R.C. Sproul says about Uzzah's decision that day. An act of holy heroism? No. It was an act of arrogance, a sin of presumption. Uzzah assumed his hand was less polluted than the earth. But it wasn't the ground or the mud that would desecrate the ark. It was the touch of man. The ground did not commit cosmic treason. God did not want His holy throne touched by what is contaminated by evil, which was in rebellion to Him, that which by its ungodly revolt brought the whole creation to ruin and caused the ground and the sky and the waters of the sea to groan, waiting for the day of redemption. It was man's touch that was forbidden. This is why Uzzah deserved to die. This is why David had no right to be angry with God. And we must not confuse the swiftness of God's judgment on Uzzah with the rightness of His justice. This is where I think we can go often so wrong in trying to harmonize God's justice and God's mercy and trying to make them fit. Because God is slow to anger. He is patient. He's forbearing in the face of our rebellion against Him. And as a result, we can assume He's so merciful that He doesn't care about sin. I believe this is why we can be so shocked and offended when we read the story of Uzzah. His judgment was swift, but it was also just. The fact that God doesn't do this more often is precisely because He is so merciful. God is patient, He's long-suffering and forbearing with sinners who deserve death. But He isn't deciding to not judge sin. In His mercy, He's holding off on judgment for a time. So if you're still breathing today, it's only because of the undeserved mercy of God. It's not because He doesn't care. And we need to remember that God's patience and His forbearance is intended to lead us to repentance, to lead us to cry out to God for mercy, and to not presume upon His mercy, but to see Him as holy, to see Him as merciful, to see our sin as serious. We go wrong when we begin to think that God, who forbears, is not going to judge sin. And this is a dangerous mistake. Because sin will be punished. Always. God is also merciful, friends. He's both. He acts justly and he acts mercifully. He's always doing both in complete righteousness and holiness, and we need to be careful to not presume upon either. We must not become emboldened in our sin, thinking God's so merciful that he doesn't care anymore. Because what Uzzah experienced is what we all deserve. Uzzah's story should be our story. We deserve the same kind of immediate, swift judgment of God. And he would be right and just in ending our lives. We've acted in the same treasonous and rebellious ways. And this truth must break us of our presumptuous pride. It must break us of presuming upon God's mercy. And it must humble us that God's righteous wrath is real and we're deserving of it. And that must humble us and break us. Because that's what we deserve. This truth should lead us to cry out to God for his mercy that we don't deserve, but that he so richly loves to give. Second point, God's mercy is always undeserved. In verse 9, we see a right response to God's righteous wrath. It says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day. A quick transition happens in this text. In the aftermath of Uzzah's death, dread comes over the crowd. The celebration's ended, and David moves from anger to fear. Fear because he recognized his own guilt before God. Anger turns to a fearful agreement with the holiness and the justice of God in a moment. David learned that he did indeed have something to fear about the character of God. That he realized that he deserved the very same judgment that Uzzah had received. He knew that he was responsible for bringing the ark to Jerusalem in the right way. As king of Israel, it was his responsibility to lead the people of God, to seek him in the ways that God had ordained and prescribed. And David had failed. David was guilty. And what happened when this fear of judgment came upon him? He went from angry accuser to humbled worshiper. In that moment, after encountering the wrath of God, David was changed. Anger disappeared. David learned that God is to be feared, but then David was humbled because he learned something more. David had been spared. Why? David deserved the same punishment. In fact, you can make an argument that he was more liable for the judgment that Uzzah had received. But he realized that God had mercy on him for no other reason than God is merciful. David learned that God's mercy is undeserved. And as we encounter this mercy of God, as we encounter the holiness of God, who's both merciful and wrathful towards deserving sinners, we're going to be changed as well. Friends, imagine this with me, if you will. What's going to happen in our church and in our ministry if all of us grab hold of and understand God in the perfection of his attributes? If all of us agree that God is holy and to be feared? If all of us agree that God is worthy of our obedience, if all of us agree that none of us deserve his mercy, what's going to happen? Something wonderful is going to happen. It's going to lead us to humbly recognize that we're deserving of God's wrath. We will be a humble people. There will be an ounce of self-righteousness in us. an ounce of pride or arrogance or presumption. It'll be humility before God because we only deserve wrath. We stop arguing with God and we humbly agree with Him. What else is going to happen? It's going to lead us to respectful obedience. This holy God, as our Creator, He deserves our complete obedience. He deserves our total submission to His will. He's worthy of it, and He's deserving of it. It's His law. It's His world. We're called to submit to Him. David feared God, and his fear led to obedience. In this text, we see, after Uzzah's killed, what happened? David began to seek the presence of God in the ways in which God had commanded. The ark was no longer placed on an ox cart. The ark was carried. The ark was carried by Levites, according to Exodus 25 and Numbers 4. They worshiped God in the correct manner. They carried the ark, and as they did, they sacrificed animals to make atonement for their sins in recognition that they weren't deserving to be in God's presence. David learned to fear the Lord through encountering the holy wrath of God. David's fear led to his obedience. We should fear God, and we should obey Him because we fear Him, because we know we don't deserve anything else but His judgment. What else should this lead to? It should lead us to a passionate rejoicing in the mercy of God. We cannot rightly say we know God if we don't understand His opposition towards sin and His wrath towards sinners. It's God's attribute of justice, friends, that sets God's mercy in context. It helps us understand what mercy is. It helps us understand how amazing it is. It helps us not assume and presume upon God's mercy. Understanding God's judgment and God's justice explains and reveals the lavish and amazing and unbelievably good nature of God's mercy. So we see David passionately worshiping God with all of his might and all of his strength. And why? It wasn't just because he was afraid. It's because he knew God's mercy. His mercy transformed David. He knew mercy against the backdrop of God's wrath, which made God's mercy seem all the more amazing. It changed him. David gives us a picture of a sinner who knows how undeserving he is of God's mercy. We need to become convinced, as the people of God, that God is just and that He will punish every wrong. But He's also merciful, who gives us what we do not deserve. Friends, a God like this is worthy to be proclaimed. A God like this is worthy to be worshipped. And we need to stop hiding God behind our fears and our questions, and we need to start proclaiming Him and exalting Him and worshiping Him because He's just and He's merciful. And we don't deserve it. The world is crying out to know a God who is just, who will right every wrong. The world is crying out for a merciful God who will give mercy that we could never earn. Friends, proclaim Him. Don't doubt Him. Don't question Him. Know Him and proclaim Him in truth. God wants us to know Him so that we can rightly respond to Him and so that we could rightly worship Him and so we could rightly proclaim Him to a lost and dying world. We need to let God define who He is. He defines how we're to love and obey Him. So friends, study His Word. Cherish it. Don't skim over a scary passage like this because it's hard to understand. Get to know the God that you believe in and proclaim Him boldly. And as you get to know Him, you're going to be guarded from presumptuous sins like Uzzah. You're going to be protected from presuming upon God's mercy, and you're going to be a humbled, joyful worshiper of God. Let's not be like Uzzah. Let's be like David. Uzzah stands in a long line of individuals who've encountered God's wrath. Nadab, Abihu, Korah, Ananias and Sapphira, just to name a couple. All sinners like us who deserved the punishment that they received. None of them were innocent. And friends, none of us are innocent. There's only been one innocent person who's ever encountered the wrath of God. Jesus Christ endured the most brutal, the most horrific example of divine justice in the history of the world. R.C. Sproul says, "The most violent expression of God's wrath and justice is seen in the cross." If we stagger at the wrath of God, let us stagger at the cross. Here is where our astonishment should be focused. If we have cause for moral outrage, let it be directed at Golgotha. Friends, Jesus was the only innocent one to ever experience the wrath of God. If we're ever offended at a display of God's just and holy judgment, let it be at the cross. And here's what's amazing. Jesus did this willingly. The only innocent one. The only one who didn't deserve wrath. He went to experience wrath willingly. To take on my sin and yours. And then with a countless number of sins upon himself, Jesus became the most horrific object of God's wrath the world will ever know. God poured out his wrath in the fullest measure upon this sin bearer. But it wasn't for a moment like Uzzah. Uzzah experienced wrath for a moment, for an instant. Oh, but Jesus, it wasn't for an instant. Wayne Grudem says this: "To face the deep and furious wrath of an infinite God, even for an instant, would cause the most profound fear." But Jesus' suffering was not over in a minute, or two, or ten. When would it end? Could there be yet more weight of sin? Yet more wrath of God, hour after hour, it went on. The dark weight of sin and the deep wrath of God poured over Jesus in wave after wave. Jesus at last cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why must the suffering go on for so long? My God, you ever bring it to an end? Then at last, Jesus knew his suffering was nearing completion. He knew he had consciously borne all the wrath of the Father against our sins, for God's anger had abated, and the awful heaviness of sin was being removed. He knew that all that remained was to yield up his spirit to his heavenly Father, and to die. With a shout of victory, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." God's just and perfect demand for righteousness was satisfied completely at the cross. God's justice demands death for our sin. But God's justice was satisfied completely for those who believe. And friends, this is the most beautiful example of God's mercy. It's also the most horrific example of God's wrath. Wrath and mercy, justice and grace in the same moment in a perfect display of God's character. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that we love. This is the God that we're called to proclaim. And here's what's incredible. God did this, all this, for you and for me. The ones who deserve to die, me and you, get mercy. The one who deserved glory, he was crushed for our sins. He was killed by the wrath of God. Jesus didn't just die for our sins, friends. He bore something so much more horrible and terrible than just death. He bore the very wrath of God. God's intense hatred for our sin. He carried it all. He experiences horrible wrath so you can receive mercy that you don't deserve and that you could never earn. And why did he do this? So we could be undone by it. So that the direction of our lives would be forever changed. Undone by this display of God's character will help us to never forget that our God is holy. That our sin deserves punishment. To never forget the gravity of sin. And to never forget the amazing nature of his mercy. So what's our response to all of this? God's self-revelation at the cross and at the ark demands our fearful acknowledgement of what we deserve. Friends, all of us deserve his wrath. God's holiness revealed in his justice demands our complete obedience. He's our Creator. He's our Lord. We're called to submit to him. And friends, we should obey him. And you know what's wonderful? As we do, we find that his law, it's sweet. It's good. It brings joy to God's people as we obey him. It's not burdensome. God's holiness teaches us this. And God's holiness revealed in his undeserved mercy, it deserves our most joy-filled adoration, thanksgiving, and praise. Our lives should be characterized by a joyful worship of God who has lavished mercy upon us that we do not deserve. Friends, we should be the most humble people on earth. We should be the most grateful people on earth. We should be the most joyful people on earth because of the God that we know. The God who's revealed himself to us in stories like this, who's revealed himself to us in the cross. We should be amazed. We should be humbled. We should be joyful. We should be grateful. And we should worship him because he's worthy of it all.